Let's pray. Jesus, here we are again, another week, another Sunday. And God, I pray that we're not just here, Lord God, but that we would desire to meet with you. And God, that you would, just be pleased to meet with us as we gather this morning. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Last year, a friend of mine was in town from Houston, Texas. And on our way back from the airport, he asked me a real interesting question. As he bugged out and looked in awe at the mountains that he saw, he asked me a question that I'll never forget. He said, "Man, these mountains are absolutely beautiful. You still see them?" And when he said it, I realized what he was asking. And I was like, "Nah, I don't see them anymore." It's crazy because when I moved to the valley, I had the same type of reaction that he did. You see, what happened over the 5 years that I had been here, I had gotten used to the mountains. The beautiful mountains that surround the valley had become so familiar to me that they simply faded into the background of what I saw every day. I stopped appreciating them as awesome as they were because I didn't truly value them in their intrinsic beauty. I want to challenge us this morning. In the same way that I became so familiar with the mountains and didn't see them anymore, have we done the same thing with grace? Have you and I become all so familiar with grace that we don't really truly feel the weightiness of what it is? Have we devalued grace in our own minds and hearts by taking it for granted? Has Christian culture made us numb to what grace really is? I mean, think about it. Just think about how often you're faced with the reality of grace just as a term. What church do you go to? I go to Grace. Or what about this one? Someone commends you, and as a way of deflecting glory, you say, "Thank you. It's all God's grace." Maybe your name even has the word grace in it somewhere. Maybe the word grace is a piece of the passwords that you use on the internet every day. In the Christian circles that we typically run in, we are bombarded with the reality of grace. Biblical Christian culture is filled with grace terminology. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it. It's a good thing, praise God, that grace is lifted up high and esteemed and valued. Praise God that grace isn't benched and put on the sidelines here. Those are blessings straight from heaven, but if we're honest, there's a danger. There's the danger of getting used to the terminology and not thinking of grace rightly as we should. There's the danger of cultivating a vocabulary that over time fails to carry the weightiness of grace's inherent value. Do you find that you've gotten too familiar with grace this morning? Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul from Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. For by grace you have been saved." For by grace you've been saved. Do we see the beauty of this? The infinite and eternal conditions of sinners who trust in Jesus has been changed. They weren't saved in and of themselves. It didn't come by self-help. It didn't come by getting yourself together first. It came by grace. God has shown sinners something that they didn't earn. He's shown his enemies favor that they didn't deserve. Come on, y'all, he's shown us grace. For by grace we have been saved. This undeserved favor, this grace, is much more than a theological concept, though. God's word presents grace in this big, grand, and amazing way, but it never stands alone. The reality of grace brings us face to face with a person. It brings us face to face with Jesus. To come into contact with saving grace is to come into contact with Jesus. This is what this time should remind us of. Communion should be a time where we are blown away by grace because it exposes us to Jesus. Have you become too familiar with grace? Have you forgotten what it means to be radically and effectually saved from being a slave to sin to a slave of God? Has Christian culture and Christian terminology caused you to be numb when it comes to what grace actually is? for the believer today, stand in awe of grace. Stand in awe by remembering Jesus, grace's death and resurrection for you. So as we prepare to take communion today, God calls us to examine ourselves. If there's known sin that you need to repent of, boldly come to Christ and repent of those sins. But don't simply stop by looking at yourself, though. Don't just see your sin this morning. Examine yourself and remember Jesus. Jesus instructs us to take the bread and the juice in remembrance of him. Remember his life. Remember his death. Remember his resurrection. Be blown away by the grace that he's shown you, because it only comes through him. Maybe all this grace talk is new for you. Maybe all of this is just it's new terminology. Maybe for the first time in your life, you're hearing that God accepts sinners, not based on what they can do, but based on what Christ has done. I'm begging you, trust Jesus. He's the one who can make you right before God. He's the only one that can make you right before God. Maybe you have no desire to submit your life to Jesus and the grace that he has to offer. If that's the case, we simply ask that when the bread and the juice come, that you just let them pass. But for all those who accept Jesus' call to salvation by grace through faith, take the bread and the juice on your own when your heart's prepared. Man, you can please come serve us.